This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you live in or around Carbondale in southern Illinois, you might have seen signs around town where you can order a Bible and have it delivered to you for free. Well, you can also call a number there for free delivery of a different sort of book, the Communist Manifesto, originally published in the 1840s by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. The delivery would be courtesy of the Born Again Labor Museum, or BALM.
Thank you for calling the BALM Free Communist Manifesto Project. Please leave your name and full address after the beep. This offer is only good for folks in the southern Illinois area, and supplies are limited. Workers of all lands, unite.
The BALM is a Free Communist Manifesto Project, is led by Adam Turrell and his partner, Tish Markley. They are co-founders of the Born Again Labor Museum in Carbondale, or at least the revival of that museum, I should say. And when you hear museum, think more about art than history. More installations, fewer glass cases of dusty artifacts with explanatory plaques. It focuses on workers' rights. It's also a community event space for local labor rights organizations, which have seen a renewed interest in recent years as the pandemic has highlighted the plight of many working people across our economy. Here to tell us more about the history of labor organizing in southern Illinois and about the Born Again Labor Museum, or maybe the Born Again Labor Museum, are Adam Turrell and Tish Markley, who operate the space. Both of you, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Listeners, if you want to join the conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st show, at 21st show. So Adam, the Born Again Labor Museum first got started, I understand, in the 1940s. Can you tell us about its origins?
Well, I think there's a lot of mythology associated with the project. So we drew on like this idea of mythology and stories that people tell. For example, in a small town near Carbondale, Macanda, Illinois, there's a plaque in the middle of town about a railway worker who had a pet three-legged dog named Boomer. And the story goes that whenever the train would come through Macanda, the dog would run along the tracks and would actually outpace the train. And this embarrassed the railroad company. So they brought in an even faster train to beat Boomer in a race through the town of Macanda. And when they were doing that, the train caught fire. So the story goes that Boomer, seeing this fire, ran up to the fire, and there's a plaque in the middle of town about this, peed on the fire and put it out and saved his human. And unfortunately, hit an embankment and passed away. So I think that the sort of like mythology and history that we mix up together in the Born Again Labor Museum echoes the way that people move through the world and experience, especially working folks. So for example, like the story of John Henry, who died trying to outperform machines, laying down track.
A steel driving man.
The steel driving man, right? Like that seems like something old and from the past, but you have a similar sort of thing like with what's happening to working folks right now, or the vanity of a railroad company being ashamed of a dog running faster than their train, while Jeff Bezos was celebrating a vanity space flight. We had the tragedy in Southern Illinois of an Amazon fulfillment center being hit by a tornado. And even though there was a tornado warning and there was a chance for workers to get to safety, they died working. Some of them died at the Amazon fulfillment center working. So like you said, Born Again Labor Museum is not exactly a history museum. It's a mixture of history and stories and myths and dreams and art.
So let's talk a little bit about the physical space. Tish, what can visitors find if they visit the museum?
As soon as you walk in, the walls are covered with, old posters, both from the area and outside of the area. And of course, artwork. As soon as you get there, you are surrounded by, labor struggles and the memory of labor struggles, as well as stuff that's like, calling into question what's going on now. We also have, wounded tools, which sort of go on to represent, the fact that people are sort of integral until the moment that they're not, right? It's really packed with labor.
Yeah. So, Adam, obviously, when people think of Illinois and organizing and labor, Chicago is obviously a very well-known city when it comes to that history and workers' rights movements. But as your museum demonstrates, Southern and Central Illinois also have a legacy of labor organizing and labor fighting, the miners' strikes, for example. Can you talk a bit about the history of that?
Yeah, there is a long history in Southern Illinois and nearby. You know, for example, among black and white sharecroppers in the Missouri Boot Hill, which is just across the Mississippi River, about 20 miles from here, there was a tradition of seeing personal and collective redemption as linked. There are even some small town Protestant ministers that joined the socialist or communist parties in the 1930s. Mother Jones, of course, played an important role organizing coal miners in Southern Illinois, Central Illinois, and beyond. And she passed in 1930. She's buried in the Mount Olive Union Miners Cemetery, just north of Southern Illinois, as you're heading towards Springfield from St. Louis. In the 1930s, there was an organization called Miners for Democracy in Southern and Central Illinois, coal miners connecting ideas of socialism and democracy more broadly to building a fighting labor movement. In the 1970s, the nationwide coal strikes were huge here. Workers stood up for each other. In West Frankfort, 300 coal miners in 1978 met in the city park for a mass meeting and decided to shut down non-union or scab coal that was being shipped through the port in Metropolis, Illinois. So 300 people drove down to Metropolis from West Frankfort and occupied the port at Metropolis on the river and stopped the non-union coal from coming through. And in 2011, we had the faculty at SIU Carbondale on strike to protect tenure. It's largely forgotten now, but the administration tried to remove tenure protections, and hundreds of students walked out of class in solidarity with their professors. And there were marches of over 1,000 students, faculty and staff, and community members all around the university, and the strike won. The administration had to back down. And that's not even to mention things like the student strikes in the 1970 or the civil rights struggle in Cairo, Illinois, that went on for years. There's a long history and tradition of working class and other radical organizing in Southern Illinois, also in Western Kentucky and the Boot Hill, Missouri.
Listeners, let me take a moment to remind you, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the revived Born Again Labor Museum in Southern Illinois, part museum, part community space in Carbondale. It's going to be reopening to the public soon, or I guess opening to the public soon, depending on how you think of the timeline here. If you want to join our conversation with Adam Turrell and Tish Markley, who are co-founders there, 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. So, Tish, I understand the part of the idea here is also to make this a community space. Can you say more about that?
Right. Well, actually, later this month, the Young Democratic Socialists of America chapter here at SIU is going to be meeting up at BALM to make placards for a protest demanding the abolition of student loan debt. So that's really like the kind of thing that we want to get going. You know, there are, generally speaking, there's like a lack of spaces for people to go to that, you know, you have to pay usually, or there's some expectation or some limitation, you know, and we wanted to create a space where people could come in and do stuff like that, you know, have a space to make things.
So one of the other projects I mentioned in the introduction to this, Adam, is the delivering copies, free copies of the Communist Manifesto. I wonder, what has the response been to that?
Well, we've had a few crank calls, which is to be expected. In fact, we recorded one crank call and we put it on a podcast that we do with other artists around the country. But we've also had a lot of people, including in some pretty small towns, that are excited about the project and getting a copy of the Communist Manifesto. And I think it's important to say, because people hear the word communist, they might think of like one party dictatorships and so on, and things like that. But that's not really what Marx and Engels talk about in that book. It's really about the idea that working class people should control the wealth they create and have democratic control over the places where they work. And I think that idea is resonating a lot with a lot of working class people right now. like, while the labor market is a little bit tighter, which can push up wages and has, a lot of that's been wiped out by inflation. The fact is that a lot of working age people died, have died so far in the pandemic. And having less people at work means you might have more negotiating power on your wages, even though that's been wiped out by inflation. But it also means there's more work to do. So I think there's a lot of interest in the idea of working people getting together and having more of a say over what happens to them at work, what happens to them in their daily lives.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up, you know, this idea of the Communist Manifesto. I'm going to anticipate the letters we might get from airing this. You know, people are going to say, oh, you know, communist regimes were responsible for 100 million deaths from, you know, murder, imprisonment, famine, and war. I mean, how do you reconcile that? How does what, you know, communism has been in practice in other places in the 20th century with what, you know, the world you might want to build and people who are with you might want to build?
Well, there's a number of ways to talk about this historically. One, it's important to put Marx and Engels never had any political power whatsoever. They were activists and writers and philosophers, right? But when you talk about dictatorships, I think a lot of things that call themselves communist, just like some things that call themselves democratic, weren't really that, and so on. But why do we accept in this society, where a place where we spend a third of our work week is basically for most of us a kind of dictatorship, things we wouldn't accept in the rest of our lives, certainly we wouldn't accept politically, where we show up at work and we have to do what we're told for not enough money. We don't have enough benefits. Frequently we hold on to jobs we don't like because we need healthcare, especially if you're older and have like a pre-existing condition and so on. And we have to do what other people tell us to do just because their mom or dad had money, usually. And it's not that much different than showing up at a workplace and having to do what other people, what bureaucrats say in a dictatorship, a communist dictatorship, quote unquote, just because they happen to be party members in a one-party state. So I think that to disentangle some of the things that have called themselves communists from the stuff that should be salvaged from the labor movement of the 1800s and the 1900s up until now, the idea that working people can democratically control the wealth we create, we could democratically have a say in our workplaces. And that's one of the reasons why unions are so important. And as you see, as unionization rates go down, the amount of democracy that we have in the United States has also declined substantially.
And Tish, is this something that you're finding renewed interest among younger people in Southern Illinois about labor rights and their history?
I think so. I mean, I'm in my 30s, but I know that like younger people I'm seeing, like they steeped in things getting worse economically, just like I did. And in many ways, it was much, much worse for them. You know, like for my generation, I think what radicalized us was the fact that we were lied to and the rug was ripped out from under us. I'm not sure that this younger generation has even been lied to as much. You know, I think that I don't know. I think that, yeah, they understand that things aren't right. And they have no illusions, I think, about what it is that's wrong right now. And it's the fact that they aren't being given their fair share.
Tish Markley and Adam Turrell are co-founders of the Born Again Labor Museum in Carbondale. Thank you so much, Tish and Adam, for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having us. Sorry.
And we will have a link to their project if you want to learn more about it at our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Erica Scalise, who's also our engagement producer. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Before we go, I do want to urge you again to visit our website, 21stshow.org. While there, you can subscribe to our podcast. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NPR One. Just search for The 21st. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Well, I've been hitting some hard rock mining. I thought you knowed. I've been leaning on a pressure drill way down the road. Hammer flying, air hose sucking, 6 foot of mud and a show been a mucking, and I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. Well, I've been hitting some hard harvesting, I thought you knowed. North Dakota to Kansas City, away down the road. Cutting that wheat and stacking that hay and trying to make about a dollar a day, and I've been having some.